the Saturday Morning Update.
It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi joins us. He is Chief Political Columnist and White House Correspondent at Newsmax.com. John, good morning.
Good morning to you.
I know that with the social distancing at the White House these days, you have not been there on a regular basis as you normally would be. However, you were there for an action-packed Friday at 1600.
Action-packed is a good way to put it. In addition to getting full exposure of the president, we also had a press briefing by newly minted press secretary Kayleigh McEnany. She gave each of us two questions, which I would call my Friday feast.
So a number of topics obviously would be in that White House press briefing with Kayleigh McEnany. What were some of the discussion points?
White House press briefing these days begins and ends with the coronavirus crisis around the country. And she made a stalwart defense that the president was taking proper action, that the administration was indeed responding rapidly. And contrary to what has been reported in several media outlets, it did not abandon the plan of the Obama-Biden administration, as she calls it, but rather it took and expanded it. And she brought out two copies of the administration's comprehensive plan for dealing with the virus. In addition, there was discussion of General Flynn and whether there was lawbreaking under this administration. She came right back pointing to former FBI Director Jim Comey, former Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, former National Intelligence Head John Brennan, and others in the previous administration who, she said, either did not tell the truth or violated the law in some capacity. It's an interesting debate over who's the lawbreaker and which administration crossed the line enough. She proved yesterday she could mix it up with the best of them.
So you were at the White House yesterday when President Trump announced the top officials to lead Operation Warp Speed. Chief Scientist Moncef Slowey and General Gus Perno will lead the federal government's efforts on vaccines. Tell us what the president had to say about Operation Warp Speed.
Well, the president believes that there will be a vaccine program in operation and a vaccine at the beginning of next year, hence the title Operation Warp Speed. Others within the administration have not been so enthusiastic, notably Dr. Anthony Fauci, who says this will come in a period of months. The reporter who first broke the story about the coronavirus pandemic on the horizon said that a vaccine probably would take 36 months to develop. No one really knows. It should be pointed out, Dr. Jonas Salk in 1951 began work on the polio vaccine. It was finally developed and in operation in 1955. It had a brief setback when the Qatar Laboratories made a mistake and people were being injected and actually getting the virus and in some cases dying, and they had to start all over again with the vaccine. I'm not saying this is going to happen again, but it won't happen overnight. The president believes it can happen sooner than a period of years. It's going to be a very interesting race to watch.
Speaking of races, we used to know it as the space race. Now we've got Space Force. Tell us about that event at the White House yesterday.
It was quite an event to watch because for the first time in 72 years, as President Trump pointed out, there is a new branch of the armed forces that is opening up, the U.S. Space Force. He brought down the flag to show the Space Force. He introduced the general who's going to be in charge of it and, in effect, a new member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and truly envisioned that there would be fighter planes in outer space. In other words, the dream that Congressman Ken Cramer of Colorado first envisioned in 1982, which is a force to take dangerous combat with an enemy away from innocent civilians, in fact, in outer space, appears to be finally coming true. Now, will we have the craft that can do this kind of combat? Will we see a true-to-life version of Star Wars sometime in our lifetimes? Hopefully not. But the fact that this branch is there appears, many believe, to be the best insurance policy against an all-out war in the world.
John, you wrote extensively this week on two congressional races that got very little attention in the mainstream media because they were both won by Republicans. Tell us what we missed.
All right. In Wisconsin's 7th District, State Senator Tom Tiffany, one of the most conservative members of the Badger State Senate, won an open congressional seat held by former Republican Congressman Sean Duffy with 57% of the vote. Now, of course, the standard media response is this is a Republican district. But former White House Chief of Staff and Republican National Chairman Reince Priebus, himself a son of the Badger State, pointed out that in winning, Tiffany got just 3% less than Donald Trump got in the same district in 2016 when he narrowly carried Wisconsin's electoral votes. In Priebus's view, this is a sign Wisconsin will be in the Trump column again come November. Perhaps more interesting is California's 25th district, a race I've been covering since Democratic Congresswoman Katie Hill resigned after personal and professional embarrassment last year. This seat was won by Republican Mike Garcia, U.S. Navy veteran, decorated fighter pilot, a son of immigrants, or as he's always told interviewers like me, legal immigrants, pro-life, anti-tax, and someone who believes it's long overdue that we built that wall along the border. He defeated Democratic State Legislator Christy Smith, a former Obama administration official who carried the endorsement of the 44th president in this race. This is the first time in 22 years a congressional seat in California went from Democrat to Republican. Garcia pulled off quite the upset, and he did it rather comfortably, so much so that even before absentee ballots were counted, Democrat Smith graciously conceded to him. So these are two Republican wins whose impact vastly transcends the boundaries of Wisconsin 7 and California 25.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, as always, thank you very much.
It's never boring here in Washington.
It's 7:17. It's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. We'll talk with Cheryl Atkinson coming up next. But first off, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia on 66 in Arlington, some road widening work setting up eastbound between Fairfax Drive and Glebe Road in the right lane and westbound. You will find the left lane closed between Fairfax Drive and the Dulles Connector Road. Also, you will still find some accident activity on northbound 95 at the Fairfax County Parkway on the left shoulder. That is just about cleared away. In Riverdale, keep in mind there is construction being set up on the northbound BW Parkway before 410, and that is blocking the left lane. Now from GarageJoyPair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly sunny to mostly cloudy skies on this Saturday. Temperatures not quite as warm as yesterday, but still around 80 degrees. Chance for an isolated afternoon and evening storm south and west of D.C. Cloudy tonight, lows back in the 50s to near 60 degrees. For your Sunday, mostly cloudy skies, stray showers, a touch cooler with highs back in the lower 70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
69 degrees, 7:18 on the Saturday morning update. Thanks for being with us on the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler, and it's always great to have Cheryl Atkinson join us. She's the host of Full Measure. That's tomorrow morning, ABC 7 at 10 o'clock. And as you know, she's authored Stonewalled and the Smear, and she has a new book coming out in November, Slanted, How the News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism. Cheryl, it's good to have you with us. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. A lot of attention being paid to, of course, the coronavirus, the treatment and vaccines. And we probably wouldn't have thought a treatment for a pandemic disease would become as politically polarizing as hydroxychloroquine. It's certainly a lightning rod. And you look into what's behind that debate tomorrow.
Yes, you know, whenever there seems to be a sudden switch, this went from a promising drug, there was no controversy about it before a certain date, and then practically overnight, there was this chorus drumbeat against hydroxychloroquine in the media using similar terms, and that's always sort of a warning sign. Plus, you know, journalists, they know what people tell them, but they haven't done firsthand research on these medicines for them to claim they know unequivocally what something is rather than just quoting other people, but they're weighing in personally, you know, sort of fighting the fight against something. That always raises a red flag. So I decided to look into this and just go factually through hydroxychloroquine and the drug that many in the media seem to like much better, the IV medicine remdesivir. And I spoke to scientists and, you know, you'll see what we came up with Sunday, but part of it involved following the money because a lot of scientists who say many drugs hold some promise still, including hydroxychloroquine, which is still being studied by the government as possible treatment and even preventive. But many drugs are being tested right now, and scientists say we should know a lot more by the end of summer. It may be a drug you've heard about. It may be a cocktail of drugs, maybe something we haven't even talked about yet that proves effective. Hopefully something will.
You know, society has become so reliant on data for making decisions, and we've seen the numbers flashing up on the screen in terms of the number of coronavirus cases globally, the number of deaths globally and here in the United States. And we've also seen the unemployment numbers and how much attention is being focused on those numbers. But I think in each case, the numbers sometimes can be deceiving. I know you did a podcast on the coronavirus toll, but on Full Measure tomorrow, you're going to look at the unemployment numbers, and maybe there's more to the picture than what we're just seeing in raw numbers.
Yeah, I got that idea from my friends at Gallup because they pointed out that as bad as the unemployment numbers are, I mean, just devastating, they said really they don't capture the total number of Americans whose work has been impacted. That's because a lot of people whose hours have been cut back, for example, or who are laid off aren't filing for unemployment. You know, they're not included in those numbers for the unemployment benefits. So Gallup saw this a couple months back, and they've been surveying people to try to capture that bigger number, asking, have your work hours been cut back? Have you been laid off temporarily or, you know, at least part-time laid off, coming back soon? Whatever the case, they're trying to count up that total number, and it's a lot bigger than the numbers coming up in terms of federal unemployment. So they'll talk about that Sunday.
Much in the news about the Obama administration's treatment of General Mike Flynn during the transition and documents detailing chicanery among some bad apples at the FBI surfacing. And as you look at all of this, and you've had firsthand experience with the government intrusions on your computers, but what stands out to you in what you've seen so far in these documents?
Well, I think we tend to naturally kind of focus on the daily development and the minutia, the drip, drip, drip. I've even heard Republican members of Congress when asked, gee, is, you know, something going to happen big? And they say, well, we just want to, you know, kind of hold the system accountable, or we'll have to see if, you know, something technical was violated in the law. For example, was a text message deleted that shouldn't have been. I think we should be stepping back and looking at the big picture, which the big picture continues to be, as I've talked about the past couple of years, rampant alleged abuses of not just people connected to the Trump campaign, not just journalists like me that we found out about the few cases, but lots of people, politicians and journalists and ordinary citizens. These abuses that have been documented by the FISA court, the Department of Justice, and so on, that happened inside the FBI, and DOJ at high levels going on probably for years. I mean, this, if anybody thinks the people who are willing to do these sorts of things, like the FBI lawyer who allegedly doctored a document to get a wiretap against an innocent U.S. citizen, if anybody thinks this stuff only happened once and suddenly happened in 2016 and never before, I think that's highly unlikely. I mean, there's a much bigger picture here.
Well, you know, we have seen a lot of inertia among the politicians, but you talk to one politician tomorrow who is actually going to take some action?
Well, he's going to try. I mean, we speak to a lot of Democrats and Republicans on Full Measure, but we're looking this time with Congressman Ken Buck, who sometimes bucks the trends on Capitol Hill, even sometimes those within his own party, but he's on the House Judiciary Committee, and he's going after, you know, the FBI and Department of Justice for answers. He's, you know, one of those who's outspoken, not defending them, saying, well, a lot of this was understandable or maybe there's more to the story. He seems pretty upset by it. We're getting his take because he's a fairly influential member in the minority on the House side, but on the House Judiciary Committee.
It's all on Full Measure. That's tomorrow morning, ABC 7 at 10 o'clock. And as always, Cheryl, thank you very much. Enjoy a warm spring weekend for a change.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. It's 7:25. It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. We got the news next at 7:30, and then we'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and K.T. McFarland. Interesting insight into what's going on with the General Flynn investigation and the whole situation with unmasking. We'll delve all into that. So stay with us right here on the Saturday Morning Update.
During the current emergency, Cabinet Discounters can still assist you with your remodeling projects using remote consultation. It's easy to get your kitchen or bath remodeling projects started right now. Log in to CabinetDiscounters.com and fill out the consultation request form, and an experienced designer will contact you by phone or email to begin your remote consultation. Cabinet Discounters want you to remain safe without having to put your entire life on hold. That's why we created remote consultation, to get things started right away. When things get back to normal, your remodeling project can hit the ground running. You can get your kitchen or bath remodeling project started right now with remote consultation at CabinetDiscounters.com.
Check it out at CabinetDiscounters.com. That's CabinetDiscounters.com.
Cabinet Discounters, great quality, great price.
These are worrisome times, causing a lot of stress and concern. And being in debt to the IRS can certainly make matters worse. Thankfully, there's good news. Optima Tax Relief can help you resolve your tax debt over the phone and online. Don't go it alone. Optima's tax professionals can reduce the stress in your life by helping to resolve your IRS problems right from the comfort of your own home. Optima is America's most trusted tax resolution firm, having resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. And their award-winning team is ready to help you online and over the phone, even during these uncertain times. They'll stand between you and the IRS and fight to get you the best deal possible. All it takes is one call to start the process. Optima's tax associates are standing by. Take the first step towards putting your tax problems to rest. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Someone once said, challenge in life is inevitable. Defeat is optional. Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton, and at the Good Feet store, we have certainly been challenged recently, as no doubt you have too. Our hearts go out to all in our community who are struggling during this time. But let's not be defeated. Let's use this crisis to create even more resolve to move forward together, safely, 2 feet at a time. Now more than ever, let's pursue a healthy and active lifestyle and spend less time merely treating symptoms. Now more than ever, let's be active participants in life rather than passive spectators. Now more than ever, let's pursue our jobs with passion and joy, and of course make sure our feet are not getting in the way. And now more than ever, the Good Feet Store wants to help you get back out there carefully, confidently, and with the best support you can find. Come see us at the Good Feet Store with our new safety protocols in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville.
We've had our lives flipped upside down recently, and for many of us, things just got a lot rougher. But we've faced tough times before, and we're going to pull through this because, well, that's what we do in America. At Term Provider, Big Lou has a message for you. If all this craziness has you protecting the ones you care about, don't let it stop when we get through this. Keep the protection rolling with a life insurance shield around your family. For over 30 years, Term Provider has been providing affordable term life insurance at better prices and with better service, including policies that don't need an in-home exam. As for Big Lou, he's just like you, spending time at home with his kids, too. No matter what your medical history, prostate cancer, heart conditions, high cholesterol, or if you're taking prescription medications, at Term Provider, we can help you find $1 million or more of term life insurance at affordable rates to fit your budget. There's no obligation, so call now for your free quote. Call 800-568-2790. That's 800-568-2790. 800-568-2790.
With Advance Auto Parts, you can get the part you need from the comfort of your garage. We have a wide variety of parts in stock, and you can get them fast. Order online with Advance Same Day and get your part with same day pickup in store, same day curbside, or same day delivery. It's the fastest way to get the part you need, where you need it, when you need it. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participate in CarQuest locations. See store for details.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Heather Curtis. A flat-out horrible case. That's how a judge described the unprovoked killing of a man by a group of teens at the Great Frederick Fair last year. Yesterday, that judge recommended a 15-year-old charged with punching John Weed so hard that he died be put in a long-term juvenile behavioral modification program. The teen pled guilty to manslaughter for sucker-punching Weed after the man refused to give him, his brother, and some friends money. Dead on arrival. That's what Republicans are saying will happen when a $3 trillion coronavirus stimulus bill passed by the Democratic-controlled House last night makes it to them. Among their objections, Republicans say the bill offers overly generous unemployment benefits that would discourage people from going back to work, and it would help illegal immigrants get benefits. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says not acting now is irresponsible in a humanitarian way and financially. But this does not mean Americans won't be getting any more help.
It does make it harder for Republicans just to say, no more spending whatsoever. It's going to put pressure on them to do something. And it's going to be helped by the fact that the Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell, is basically turning to Congress saying, hey, you guys have to step it up. There's still more to be done. So we're going to see another bill is the consensus, just not this one.
Correspondent Christina Alessi. Up next, traffic and weather on WMAL.
Larry O'Connor here for my good friends at Renters Warehouse. Renters Warehouse is D.C.'s most respected property manager because they know this market. And with the current pandemic situation, now is a great opportunity for property owners. People choose renting in times of uncertainty. And right now, inventory is down and demand is high. Whether you own one property or a dozen, Renters Warehouse has the tools to find high-quality tenants while following all safety guidelines, including virtual tours and self-showing capabilities. And with their security deposit-free option, you can attract more tenants while protecting your home and cash flow. Renters Warehouse finds awesome tenants in just 17 days on average, and they take rent collection, maintenance, inspections, and paperwork safely off your plate. There's no upfront fees, and they'll even warranty your renters. Go to rwdcnova.com to book your free virtual or in-person home rental price appointment today, or call 571-489-8134. That's 571-489-8134. Renters Warehouse DC. You'll always have a home with us.
In Virginia, some roadwork is setting up on 66 eastbound in Fair Oaks between Route 50 and Route 123. Left lane closed with road widening work. And then through Arlington eastbound near Fairfax Drive headed towards Glebe Road, you'll find the right lane closed with that same road work. Westbound between Fairfax Drive and the Connector Road, the left lane also closed with the road widening work. And also do watch out for some road work in Riverdale on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway northbound before 410, where you will find the left lane closed. Watch out for brief delays there. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly sunny to mostly cloudy skies on this Saturday. Temperatures not quite as warm as yesterday, but still around 80 degrees. Chance for an isolated afternoon and evening storm south and west of D.C. Cloudy tonight, lows back in the 50s to near 60 degrees. For your Sunday, mostly cloudy skies, stray showers, a touch cooler with highs back in the lower 70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
69 degrees at 7:33 on the Saturday morning update. Thank you for being with us as the sun is finally out. The temperatures warm up. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is a CIA-trained intel operative. He is the author of Operation Dark Heart and the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, good morning.
Hey, Rick, always great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, and thanks for being around all week on WMAL.
Thank you.
I wanted to get with you on the unmasking story. We're going to talk to KT about this as well, but wanted to get your perspectives on the people who were involved in this quote-unquote unmasking of General Flynn. I mean, there's a whole ton of people. There's three or four dozen people on this list who requested the unmasking, and I was just a little surprised to see Deputy Secretary of the Treasury, who happens to be married to a congressman. It's just some kind of strange things on there.
Well, let's start with the fact that, first off, in 2017, all these people denied any knowledge of this. Rick, remember, people tend to forget that when this all first came up, everybody said, oh, we don't know anything about this. So let's remember that in context. Now that we're here, I read articles in the Daily Beast and Vox, if you can call that a media outlet, explaining how this is all just normal. Nothing to see here. But to your point, most of those people, if not all of them, I looked at the list. There's not a single career, intelligence, or government professional on that list. They're all political appointees. That was not permitted, for the most part, back in the old days, back in the early 2000s, when this capability was sacred. This is akin to what we call in the community raw SIGINT, that basically you're getting access to raw information that NSA has picked up and is generally considered kind of the keys of the kingdom for them, and they don't share it readily for obvious reasons. This is one. There was a recognition during the time I was running operations, Rick, that there's a tendency, if you're a political appointee, to act politically. Duh. So that's what we've seen here. There's absolutely no intelligence benefit or legal or law enforcement reason for Joe Biden to be on that list. None. Zero. Zip.
But don't worry about it, Tony. He forgot it anyway.
Yeah, well, I know. He probably has, but that's the point. None of these people should have ever have access to that level of granularity regarding intelligence collection operations, especially one in this case where it's pretty clear based on all the evidence it was never properly authorized. And essentially, I'm going to say this because the left-wing media keeps trying to gloss it over, it's a RICO act. It's an act of organized law-breaking. Because they keep saying, well, there's nobody that can define what's wrong. Yes, I can define it. It was done in a criminal enterprise for purposes of trying to spy on citizens who were not supposed to be spied on. Their rights were violated for the purposes of monitoring a political adversary as they came into office. It's really that simple. But again, the left-wing media can't seem to figure this out. So I'm sorry I'm a little bit passionate about this, but this whole thing, Rick, if you look at it on the face of it, it's as bad as it appears to be. This was an attempt to use the official mechanisms of the United States government to undermine the peaceful transition of political power. I cannot emphasize enough how dangerous this is to have come to find all of these people were using intelligence mechanisms for political purposes. And I want the audience to remember that.
You said something very important in there. You said that these were all political appointees. You said none of the real, frontline intelligence officers that you would think may, if there was an alarm here or something really troubling, you would have thought maybe the kind of the frontline intelligence people would have wanted the unmasking. But it wasn't them. It was the political people.
Yes, exactly. So this normally back in the days, I mean, I was going through one of my colleagues yesterday who worked this sort of thing with me back in the old days. This sort of detailed information, Rick, was restricted to about 10 people in Washington, all of Washington, because of the very thing we now recognize. This is like crack to a politician. Man, I want to get that access to what my adversary is doing, and this is a way to do it. That's what happened here. So I don't know. Everything I've seen indicates to me the Obama administration got in there and decided, oh, okay, we're not just going to act for the American people. We're going to act for the Democrat Party, and we're going to open up the spigot here to pretty much anybody who wants to have access. And again, I want people to go back and study that list and understand that that is not normal. Those people should not have had access to that level of detail. Frankly, they should only be getting finished products and other things which are essentially summaries of issues. And think about this for a second. Those people technically all interfered if they had access to this as part of a law enforcement investigation. Think about it. You don't want people knowing details for obvious reasons if they're going to go after Mike Flynn, but they did it anyway. So that tells me right there that there was never any seriousness to what they were trying to do to Mike Flynn. It was all about knowing what the political adversary was doing and not trying to protect U.S. national security.
So I check around the major broadcast networks, and I check out CNN and things. I mean, I'm not limited to one or two media outlets, so I'm nosing around trying to find the unmasking story, and it was nowhere. It was nowhere on the mainstream outlets. You know, it was mind-boggling that they didn't pick up on it. And one person picked up on it, though. I want to talk about Catherine Herridge and then the response from the Biden team, because Catherine Herridge, experienced journalist, a national security front. She's been at Fox News for a long time, made the transition over to CBS. And if CBS is going to pick up somebody from Fox, you got to know that that person is non-biased and is a journalist and not a political commentator.
That's correct.
Andrew Bates is the rapid response guy for the Biden team. And he tore Catherine Herridge apart in a tweet. That tweet has since been deleted. But, he attacked Catherine Herridge. And, of course, Joe Biden said that they would never try and intimidate or bully the media. And there's his rapid response guy trying to intimidate and bully the media. But I wanted to get your read on it.
So, and Chuck Todd did pretty much the same thing, blaming Catherine Herridge and CBS for his editing of an interview she did with Barr. It's quite incredible. He basically, Chuck Todd, in a similar vein, said, well, CBS edited the interview in such a way I didn't know what I was doing. Pretty much what he said. But back to this Biden thing. Rick, the one thing that's clear over the past week, Catherine Herridge also was the first reporter to put out all of the FISA hard copy documents. I call that reporting. I call that putting out facts. What the issue is, are the facts which she has presented have, first off, counter the Russian collusion narrative, which many in the media still are trying to push, even to this day. And secondly, it goes against the very issues that we've talked about relating to the Obamagate issues. And, you know, the left saying, oh, Obamagate's pretty easy to understand. She simply has established a fundamental fact a baseline of why people need to be concerned about it, and that's why they're ignoring it, and that's why you see the Daily Beast and others, and Joe Biden's own team attacking Catherine, because the facts don't match their aspirations. That's what's going on. And again, I ask the audience, I ask everybody who's listening to really look at this for what it is. Think for yourself. Don't be going out and listening to Sleepy Joe's staff on this. I think you have to understand that Biden's perspective is based on what he's now been tied up in, which is illegal activity. There was no reason for the vice president to be looking at any of that sensitive intelligence, especially during a political transition of two administrations. And there's no way to explain it other than what it appears to be.
You know, there was one really important point that you made in there, and that was that Catherine Herridge reports facts. And so many of the New York Times and Washington Post and all these other stories, whether it's Vox or Vanity Fair or whoever, always quoting unnamed sources around the White House. You know, And she's got the documents. I mean, she's got the papers, yeah. Right?
And that's the issue. I mean, people will go on record with her. You'll get a good sense of what's going on. And I just read some of this propaganda on why she's now a bad person. It's all about them saying that they don't like her style and that it's essentially taking talking points. Rick, I don't know how reporting factual documents that were essentially produced during the Obama administration is taking, quote unquote, right-wing talking points. And I'd like to have someone explain it to me, because that one is a head-scratcher.
Hey, before we leave, I want to catch up on Space Force real quick. Yeah. The president, of course, had an event at the White House yesterday. They unveiled the Space Force flag. Explain the significance of Space Force and why we need it.
Yeah, so very simply, it's the last high frontier. We've got now to establish an understanding and path forward for exploring the inner solar system, that is to say, the moon and on. We kind of abandoned that after the last moon mission. The space shuttle and some other things we did in near Earth orbit really don't count. So there's a twofold thing going on. They're trying to commercialize, push the idea of going back to the moon and going beyond. And you need to have a military force to protect that enterprise. So that's what it is. And I think it's long overdue. The new flag for the Space Command was unveiled at the White House yesterday. And, Rick, this is something like this has gone back to when you and I were kids in science fiction. And it's finally established. It's finally going forward. And I think it's a necessary addition to the Department of Defense.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, as always, thank you so much, Tony. Appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks, Rick.
You betcha. 7:45, it's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. We'll talk with KT McFarland next. First off, though, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Arlington, watch out for a disabled vehicle northbound on 395 approaching Washington Boulevard, blocking the right lane. Now, also in Arlington, there is some road work setting up on 66 eastbound between Fairfax Drive and Glebe Road. Right lane taken away with the road widening work. Westbound between Fairfax Drive and the connector road, you will find the left lane blocked. And also, do keep in mind there is road work setting up in Fair Oaks, eastbound on 66, between Fair Oaks and 123 in the left lane. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
We'll have added clouds on your Saturday. Also the chance for a couple of isolated storms south and west of D.C. Highs today around 80 degrees. As we head overnight, cloudy skies, lows a little bit cooler in the 50s in the suburbs, near 60 degrees downtown. For your Sunday, mostly cloudy skies, a few stray showers, highs in the lower 70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
69 degrees in Washington at 7:46.
Someone once said, challenge in life is inevitable. Defeat is optional. Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton, and at the Good Feet Store, we have certainly been challenged recently, as no doubt you have too. Our hearts go out to all in our community who are struggling during this time. But let's not be defeated. Let's use this crisis to create even more resolve to move forward together, safely, 2 feet at a time. Now more than ever, let's pursue a healthy and active lifestyle and spend less time merely treating symptoms. Now more than ever, let's be active participants in life rather than passive spectators. Now more than ever, let's pursue our jobs with passion and joy, and of course make sure our feet are not getting in the way. And now more than ever, the Good Feet Store wants to help you get back out there, carefully, confidently, and with the best support you can find. Come see us at the Good Feet Store with our new safety protocols in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville.
Hey guys, Laura from Garden Answer here. Your backyard is your sanctuary, and spending time outdoors is more important than ever. So make your garden the best it can be with Proven Winners flowering shrubs. Ask your local garden center about safe, convenient curbside pickup or delivery.
We've had our lives flipped upside down recently, and for many of us, things just got a lot rougher. But we've faced tough times before, and we're going to pull through this because, well, that's what we do in America. At Term Provider, Big Lou has a message for you. If all this craziness has you protecting the ones you care about, don't let it stop when we get through this. Keep the protection rolling with a life insurance shield around your family. For over 30 years, Term Provider has been providing affordable term life insurance at better prices and with better service, including policies that don't need an in-home exam. As for Big Lou, he's just like you, spending time at home with his kids, too. No matter what your medical history, prostate cancer, heart conditions, high cholesterol, or if you're taking prescription medications, at Term Provider, we can help you find $1 million or more of term life insurance at affordable rates to fit your budget. There's no obligation, so call now for your free quote. Call 800-568-2790. That's 800-568-2790. 800-568-2790.
Migraines can attack anytime, anywhere. Now there's a new kind of pill you can take anytime, anywhere to treat them. Introducing Ubrelvy, or Ubrogepant. Ubrelvy can provide relief from migraine pain and debilitating symptoms without worrying where you are or if it's too late. People took Ubrelvy within 4 hours of a migraine attack. One dose can quickly stop a migraine in its tracks within 2 hours, and many had pain relief in just 1 hour.
Ubrelvy treats migraine attacks in adults and is not for migraine prevention. It is available by prescription only. Do not take Ubrelvy with strong CYP3A4 inhibitors. Tell your healthcare provider about all the medicines you take. Few people had side effects. The most common were nausea, 2 to 4%, and tiredness, 2 to 3%.
While normal routines have shifted, the need for migraine treatment remains the same. Contact your healthcare provider to see if Ubrelvy is right for you. Ubrelvy, the anytime, anywhere migraine medicine. Learn about support and resources at Ubrelvy.com or call 844-4-U-B-R-E-L-V-Y. Sponsored by Allergan.
7:49, it's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by KT McFarland. She is the former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration, and she has authored the new book, Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. KT, good morning.
Good morning.
And I think most people realize that you were the Deputy National Security Advisor working very closely with the National Security Advisor, General Michael Flynn. And unmasking has been the big story of the past week. And I wanted, first off, just a clear definition from your perspective as someone who worked in national security at the White House, the process and what unmasking means. We've heard, you know, media people try and describe it, but I want to know what the real definition is.
Okay, so the real definition of unmasking is you cannot... U.S. government, NSA, FBI, whatever, cannot wiretap American citizens without a warrant. And to get a warrant, you have to have a really good reason. That's the FISA court. But you can still find out what Americans are saying by wiretapping foreigners. And in this case, we routinely wiretap, like, Russians, Chinese, any foreigner who especially is in the United States. And the workaround that the Obama administration was using was they couldn't wiretap General Flynn legally, directly, but they could wiretap people he was talking to if they were foreigners. So that's what the unmasking is that General Flynn was having phone calls with the Russian ambassador and a lot of other people during the transition, and they, the way they could find out what was being said is to unmask General Flynn, and then they have the transcript of the conversation.
Isn't it routine for a national security advisor or a deputy national security advisor to talk to ambassadors?
Actually, Rick, it's routine. I mean, it would be malpractice if they didn't. You know, the whole point of a transition is that three-month transition, and the whole point of that transition is for the incoming people to get familiar with the job, to hire the people they want to hire, to talk to the foreign leaders they need to talk to, so that there's a seamless transition, especially in foreign policy, between one administration to the next. So General Flynn was absolutely right to be talking to the Russian ambassador. The problem was that the Obama administration used that, I think after the fact, they used that to really, well, I think they used it to set up General Flynn, myself, and to try to destroy the Trump administration before it even started by getting it embroiled in this Russia hoax. But if I could go on a little bit, I think what happened, which is the dumb thing that the Obama administration did, one of the really dumb things, is they put sanctions on the Russians for election interference 2 weeks before the inauguration. Now, they knew, and we discussed this in the transition with President Trump, with General Flynn, myself, they must have known months before, and they did know months before, that the Russians had interfered with the election. So why the heck did they wait? Why did they wait until 2 weeks before the new team was to come on? It was almost like they were trying to start a crisis with the United States and Russia. And they've pointed to the fact that after the sanctions were imposed by the Obama administration on December 28th, 29th, that the Russians initially were going to retaliate, which is normal, but then decided not to. And they pointed to that as, aha, the reason the Russians didn't retaliate must have been because there was collusion during the campaign, that there was a payback, that Trump was already cutting deals with the Russians before he was president. And it was all made up.
You saw the list of those requesting the unmasking. Now, when you're working at the White House, I'm sure you know how it all works, the process. Was it appropriate for all of these different people to be requesting that information?
Look, I saw that long list of, 47 people, and I think there's something very fishy. Because when Samantha Power, whose name is on the list as one of the people requesting the most unmaskings of General Flynn, when she was asked, under oath, did you do this? And she said, no, I didn't do it. And then the former director of national intelligence, General Clapper, he was asked this week, well, your name is on that list. Did you request unmaskings of General Flynn? No, I didn't do it. Biden was asked, no, I don't remember it. What happened is that a lot of people, names were put on that list who didn't necessarily know their names were put on that list. Easy way to find out. Let's just go ask all those people. Because if that's the case, then who did put their names on the list and why did they do it? I don't know the answer to that, but I sure would like to.
That's really strange. Well, you know, we talked about the process, but I want to get to the personal impact on you in all of this. And I know you write a lot about it in your book, but tell us a little more. And as an example, this whole thing with the 302s and the missing 302s, and you were questioned by the FBI as well.
Look, those 302s of General Flynn's conversations with the FBI agents in January 24th, 4 days after the administration took office, they've got to be probably the most important 302s, I don't know, in the last 20 years of the FBI. And somehow they go mysteriously missing, and somehow they form the basis and the foundation of all the prosecution of General Flynn and the whole Russia thing. Look, I'm not buying that one either. A 302 is what happens when the FBI shows up. They sit down with you. If you're smart enough to have a lawyer present, which I wasn't and General Flynn wasn't, but they sit down and they start asking you questions. It's two FBI agents, and one of them is the junior agent. He's the note taker, and the senior agent is the one asking the questions. And they start, the senior agent, in my case, when they showed up at my door unannounced, knock, 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 it's the FBI. Can we come in and talk to you? And they wanted to find out about what the Russian contacts were and what the Russian influence on the election. And I said, I really wasn't part of the campaign. I really don't even know the Russians. I never met with them. I can't shed much light on what you want to talk about. And I said, well, we just want to get a sense of what was going on at the time. So the senior FBI agent starts pulling out one item after another, newspaper articles one after another, and the junior agent is taking the notes. At the end of this, say, in my case, six-hour meeting with the FBI, they're supposed to immediately sit down and write a report based on the handwritten notes. Nobody's making a tape recording. Nobody's doing a video. It's just the handwritten notes. So hopefully it's an honest FBI agent, and he takes legitimate notes. The two guys compare things, and then within 24, 48 hours, they have a finished product. That's what's gone missing. And unusually in this case, the original one we know because of the documents that have been declassified, was edited and edited and edited again by the same people who were then on the Mueller investigation and who were basically fired from the FBI as dirty cops.
Okay, so you're new in the White House. Well, you've been there many times in the past in other roles, but you're new at the White House in the Trump administration, and we've got about 3 minutes to cover this. So you're there with General Flynn, and you're now trying to lay out the Russia policy, how you're going to handle Vladimir Putin and Russia. Tell us a little bit about that. I know it's in the book, but tell us what that process was.
Okay, so the Russians imposed sanctions, President Obama imposed sanctions on the Russians 2 weeks before the inauguration. And again, as I said, they've known about Russian interference in the election for a long time, so why wait? It's almost like they wanted to hand a crisis to the Trump administration as they were walking in the door. At the time of the Obama sanctions, I briefed President Trump, I briefed General Flynn, I briefed anybody who would listen. I said, look, this is standard. The United States finds that the Russians have done something wrong. We kicked a few diplomats out. We imposed sanctions. They retaliate. It's called a tit for tat. It's happened going back to the Kennedy administration. In the Reagan administration, we had several major incidents like this. So that's what this is. We've imposed sanctions. Chances are the Russians will retaliate in a similar fashion, and or they'll do less than what we've done. Like if we expel five diplomats, maybe they only expel three, or maybe they expel eight. And how the Russians react will give us an indication of how they plan to treat the Trump administration forward. What kind of a relationship do they want? Now, the Obama administration, apparently now from documents we've seen in the last week, they said that when the Russians didn't respond, as they figured they would, they assumed, well, there must have been a deal cut, that Trump must have cut a deal with the Russians, or somehow he was so close to Putin, and he owed Putin one for helping him win the election, all of which was made up, that somehow Putin didn't react. Anyway, what they missed, and they had always missed about understanding Putin, and President Obama and Secretary Clinton and Secretary John Kerry, Secretary of State, they didn't understand how to deal with Putin. I think it was Putin wasn't going to respond. He had no interest in creating a crisis with a Trump administration that was about to come into office and improve, and it had announced its intention to try to improve relations. So I think that the whole thing was either a misinterpretation, either deliberate or incompetent, either way, of the Obama administration not understanding why Putin did what he did. Putin had much more to lose with a bad relationship continuing with the United States than we did. It didn't bother us at all if we imposed sanctions on them, and it crippled their economy. So there was no way Putin was going to rise to President Obama's face and retaliate, and they never understood that.
Wow. And you can read a lot more about that in KT's book, Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. KT, thank you so much, as always, for sharing your thoughts and perspectives with us. It's very much appreciated.
Thank you. Talk to you next week. Bye.
You bet. That's it for the Saturday Morning Update. The news is next, then it's Garden Sense, right here on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.